chapter 17, and we will start in Proverbs 17 again tonight. And I'm going to preach to you tonight the second of maybe three, possibly four messages I'm going to deal with the topic of common sense. Common sense. And so we all know that's lacking in 2021, don't we? And so, boy, we need it. And I pray God will help us with it. And so if you'll look with me in Proverbs chapter 17, we'll read our text verse and then get right into the message tonight. And look in verse number 27. It says, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit." And so that really is what we're talking about whenever we talk about common sense. Talk about having understanding, basic understanding, some wisdom, some knowledge. But that really is kind of what common sense is all wrapped up in. You can't have common sense without having some Bible understanding. And we talked about that Sunday night, how common sense, you know, it comes from the Lord, and it comes from receiving correction, comes from those things that we dealt with Sunday night. And so one man said, or you've heard it said before, you know, common sense now isn't so common as it used to be. And it's not as common as it used to be because we're not as godly of a society as we used to be. And so that really is what probably plays into it more than anything. But I want to look tonight. Sunday night we looked at the causes of common sense. What gives? Where does common sense come from? And tonight I want to look at about three different things regarding the cautions and commands that he gives regarding common sense, understanding, or what we would call common sense. Because the Bible, and particularly, you know, Solomon here, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, gives some cautions and he gives some commands regarding common sense and understanding and wisdom, these things. And I want to look at about three of them. This certainly is not going to be exhaustive tonight, but three of them that I think it would be very important that we would all be aware of and have called to our memory and for us to keep on our mind as we think about these things. And so the Bible says, where we just read, that a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. And that certainly would be a good testimony of one of God's people, of all people. We ought to have an excellent spirit, a good understanding and an excellent spirit about us. And that's going to come with common sense. And so let's look at some of the cautions and some of the commands. The first one we're going to look at is back in Proverbs chapter 3. And I want you to keep your Bible handy, because we're going to turn to a few different chapters here, look at some different verses, pretty much all in Proverbs. You might want to write these references down. I don't know that any of these verses will be very foreign to us, but I do want us to read them and look at them, because I believe it'll help us. And so in Proverbs chapter 3, you really probably are very familiar with this verse. In verse 5, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." So the first caution, or the first command, that God gives through Solomon regarding common sense and regarding understanding, the first one that I see is don't lean on your own understanding. Just like in the verse we just read. Now, I know that's very simple, and I know that's very straightforward, but it's truth, and it is what it is. If you're going to have common sense, don't lean on your own understanding. Now, to have common sense, you're going to have to rest and rely the weight of your decisions. Now, everything you do in life, you're going to have to rely and rest the weight of that in the Lord and in God's wisdom. And you will find God's wisdom in this book. And so every decision you make, the way you view the world, the way you view every circumstance in life, the way we parents raise our children, the way we conduct our marriages, the way we set up the church, the way we act on the job, I mean everything, every area of our life has got to be touched with the wisdom of God if we're going to have common sense in it. It's going to have to rest in God's wisdom. See, your own opinions and philosophies will only get you in trouble. Matter of fact, that's what gets people in trouble. Is whenever they do things the way they want to do it. Whenever they do things the way they think it ought to be done. Rather than looking at it through the lens of what the Bible says. Amen? Now, I read a story here, I guess it was today actually, and I thought it was very interesting, where this scientist, here apparently not too long ago, at the University of Illinois was doing a study, and they supposedly uncovered the likely cause of Ludwig von Beethoven's early death. Now, Beethoven's probably one of the most well-known, commonly known composers ever. Well, you know, we pretty much all at least know who he is, know his name anyways, if nothing else, know Beethoven's name. And he died relatively early, relatively young. He died at the age of 57. And they think, after doing studies, they think they've uncovered the reason why. They've studied strands of his hair and determined the death result, or the result of his death, would be due to lead poisoning. That's what they found in studying his hair. That's amazing to me that they can find all that in a strand of hair. But anyways, and I'm being serious. This isn't a joke. I'm not about to hit you with a punchline. This is serious. I know some of you are thinking, all right, well, there's about to be a punchline here. But no, this is serious. They've studied strands of his hair and found that what they believe to be the cause of his death to be lead poisoning. They found over 100 times the normal amount of lead in his hair strands, hair follicles. In other words, so that's what would have been in his body, over 100 times the amount of lead that should have been in a normal person they found in him. Now, this lead poisoning, they think, caused a lot of discomfort and perhaps even the deafness that he had for over 25 years. Because, you know, Beethoven, one of the greatest composers of our, ever, was actually deaf. Isn't that incredible? And they think now that this lead poisoning or all this lead in his system could likely have been what caused his deafness. That's fascinating, isn't it? How they can study that from hair. But they likely traced the elevated levels of lead in his body to drinking and swimming in mineral spas as an adult. Apparently he did a lot of that. He drank from these mineral spas and he would bathe in these minerals or swim in these mineral spas as an adult. And they think that's where all this lead came from because of all the heavy metals in these mineral spas. Now, I said all that to say this. Beethoven did not know that stuff was hurting him. He was just doing it out of, for whatever reason. I mean, and a lot of times people often don't know what's hurting them. And the majority of people that are going about their life, doing their own thing, and looking at life the way they perceive it to be, and going on their own ideas and their philosophies, they never know and realize how much it is hurting them. And for you to do that, or for me to do that, we likely would be so blinded by our own ideas and our own way of thinking that we would not even know how much it was hurting us. And you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:12 that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So here you have Beethoven. This is just an earthly illustration. Greatest composer ever. And long after he's dead, they look back and find that what he never even thought was affecting his life is probably what killed him at an early age and possibly even what caused his deafness in his age. The same could be said about a lot of people spiritually, that what they've done all their life, just simply looking at life and going about their life with their own ideas and their own philosophies, hurt them so drastically, possibly even caused an early death, and they never even knew it was hurting them that bad. Well, that's why you should never lean on your own understanding. To reject God's wisdom and rely on our own understanding is to destroy ourselves. See, the question is, and I want to ask you this question, on what do you base all of your decisions? On what or on who do you base everything you do in your life? On what do you base your decisions for your marriage, for your finances, for your friendships, for your forms of entertainment, for the way you solve your personal problems? On what do you base how you handle all of those things? I'm just telling you, it better be on God's wisdom. It better be on the Word of God. No, you may not have a specific chapter and verse that says, thou shalt do this or this, or thou shalt not do this, but you better have a principle somewhere in the Bible that says, this is why I do things the way I do them. There's always, if there's not a specific command, there's always a principle. Amen? And so, on what do you base your decision? Is it on the wisdom of God or is it on your own understanding? Because see, our security and stability and rest come only from the Word of God. The people that make such, that have such a mess in their life and have so much drama in their life and have so many problems in their life, I can just about promise you with almost 100% accuracy, you're going to find somewhere where they're doing things their own way. They're not doing it the way God wants it done. They're doing things their way. Because see, God, He gives us peace that passes all understanding. He doesn't bring confusion in our lives. He doesn't bring all kinds of... that's the devil that does that. That's doing things our way that does that. Doing things God's way brings security in our life. It brings stability in our life. It brings rest in our life. And so the first command is to don't lean on your own understanding. The second one is this. Desire to gain common sense. So how are you going to gain common sense? First of all, you got a desire to gain it. You're in chapter 3 of Proverbs. Flip over one page maybe, or even the same opening into chapter 4, and look in verse 1. Proverbs 4, verse 1, he says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Okay, that last phrase is what I want you to see. Attend to no understanding. Now flip over to chapter 23. Look in Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. He says, "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." So, Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, urges us to gain common sense and understanding. He said, attend to understanding in chapter 4, verse 1. Attend to know understanding. That is urging us to gain understanding, to gain common sense. Because see, the word attend there, it literally means to bend your ears. It means to pay careful attention, means to take heed or to listen, okay? So when we attend to know and understand, He's telling us to be very careful. Be careful in our pursuit of understanding and common sense. In other words, it's likely not something that just comes naturally. Man in his natural state doesn't just understand the things and the ways of God and doesn't just understand the laws of God in the world and the way the world works in the eyes of God. And see, we've got to know these things because God's the one that made this thing. God's the one that knows how it runs. He knows the way to have the best possible life and to live the most victorious life here. And so we're going to do things His way. We have to have common sense. God's sense, His understanding. That word attend there is the same word in Job 33, verse 31, where God said to mark well to Job. To possess. He said also understanding. Wisdom, understanding, common sense. Make sure you apply yourself and you desire. To thy neck. You see the positive effects of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You see the positive effects of common sense. But it's not enough just to desire it. You also are going to have to be very, very diligent to keep it. Now, I don't know about you, but I can just about remember every word to every wicked song I ever heard. But it's really, really hard for me to keep Scripture memorized. Seem to keep Scripture. I mean, whenever I go to trying to memorize Scripture, it seems like it never wants to stay in there. And it can be really difficult. It can be really difficult to keep just the things of God in general on my mind. Just good, holy, spiritual. It can be so hard to keep them on my mind all the time because just the things of the world, they're just coming at us all the time and getting in our mind. We have evil thoughts and think things all the time. And that's just so difficult. That's part of living in this flesh. Thank God when we get to heaven, it's not going to be that way anymore. But here we've got that the man of the flesh, we've got the spiritual man battling against one another, and it can be so hard to keep our minds on the things of God and so hard to keep our heart on it. That it's really going to take some diligence to keep those things in there. It's not enough just for us to desire understanding and desire God's wisdom and seek after God to gain wisdom and gain understanding. It's also going to be an uphill battle in keeping those things as well. Because what the devil's going to do, what the world's going to do is constantly trying to draw our mind and our attention away from the things of God. The common sense, the understanding. The devil in the world is constantly trying to put in the world's philosophies and the world, the antichrist worldview of this world that we're in. I mean, it's going to constantly be putting that into stuff. And if you're not careful, if you're not diligent to keep the understanding, keep the common sense, the knowledge that you have on the things of God, what you're going to get is you're going to get too much of that and you're going to start thinking the way they think. That's what's happened a lot in this past year, where people have sat and taken in so much of the news, or read so much of the news, or constantly monitored on the radio or whatever, constantly monitored this coronavirus situation, whatever. And at first, you know, they may not think anything about it, but after a while, I mean, when you're constantly bombarded with how terrible it is and how awful it is and how much worse it's getting and how it's just getting worse. I mean, every day it's just worse and worse and worse. Before long, that gets in your mind enough and gets in your heart enough to where you start, I mean, that stuff starts to control you. You start getting fearful. You start thinking, well, what are we going to do? And that's that way with anything. It'd be the same way if you listened to enough of it about terrorism. You'd be thinking terrorists were coming to get us any day. I mean, it's just that way. And that's why we've seen so many people, and faith doesn't even seem to be in their vocabulary anymore. Faith doesn't even seem to be, I mean, it's like they don't even think God can do it anymore. I don't think God can do anything anymore. Don't think God can protect us anymore. I mean, He's promised to provide, promised to protect us. But because their mind, they've not been diligent to keep their common sense, well, it's gone out the window. And the world, the flesh, and the devil has now gotten control of their mind. And so it's not enough just to get it. Because see, we can come in here on Sunday and have two great services on Sunday. And you can leave here so full of faith and so filled with the Spirit of God and feeling like you can do anything for God. And you leave here and you say, boy, that was a great service. Boy, we had a great Sunday. Boy, it just feels so good. And you think, man, this week I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do good. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to witness. I mean, I'm just going to live victoriously this week. This is going to be great because we just had a great service. But if you're not careful, Monday will roll around. And if you're not diligent in keeping those things, well, they'll fly. They'll fly away very quickly and be right back. Right back down on the low. See, we must gain common sense or discretion. And whenever we do, we've got to hang on to it. Got to hang on to it. It can be lost by one stupid decision. Can wreak havoc and create havoc in our life. And you know what generally happens? Whenever we make one bad decision that we or do one thing that we don't do in light of the Word of God, in light of a command of God or in light of a principle of the Word of God, we don't do it with common sense. What that bad decision normally does, it tends to lead to another bad decision. One bad or unwise decision tends to lead to another bad or unwise decision, which tends to lead to another, which tends to lead to another, and to another, and to another. And that's just how it seems to work. And so, how are we going to, what are the commands? What are these things, the cautions or commands regarding common sense? First of all, don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on God's wisdom, His principles, His Word. And then you must desire to gain common sense and then be diligent to keep common sense. That is, we must hide the Word of God in our hearts and strive to keep it there. It's not just going to come natural. We've got to read our Bible. We've got to be in our Bible. We've got to seek God. And it's like Brother Ernest just said, we've got to practice it. We've got to put it into action. Otherwise, we'll be just like the rest of the world. We won't have any common sense. The reason we're common sense, I mean, things that should just be so common, should just be known and generally understood by the world. The reason they're not very common anymore is because not just the lost world, but God's people just aren't reading their Bible anymore. We're not seeking God anymore. We're not putting into practice the Word of God anymore. And so common sense isn't near as common as what it used to be. But may God help us to have common sense. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace tonight. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for this time we can spend together around it. Lord, I pray that You'll take it and use it tonight. I pray that You would help us all to have common sense. I pray that You'd help us to apply Your Word. Help us to be diligent in keeping Your Word in our heart, and Lord, to seeking after You, to have the mind of Christ, and Lord, to know the way You think and the way You would have us to live and act in any given circumstance or situation. I just pray that You'd bless us and help us. Lord, I pray that You'd bless us now. Lord, as we close the service, as we leave this place, I pray that Thy will be done. Help us as we go about our lives the rest of this week. Bless us as we come together this next appointed time, this coming Lord's Day. I pray that You would begin even now preparing our hearts, what You would have to do. Lord, I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to be diligent, doing what we can to get sinners to the house of God, that they might hear the Word of God preached and be saved. Lord, I pray that You just have Your perfect will and way in our lives, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.